I'm going to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, Verse number 25. Satam prasangamama virya samvido bhavanti rikarna rasayanam gata tadoshavad ashvavargavartmani shararatira bhaktir anukramishiti. In the association of translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and thereafter he is freed as attraction becomes fixed, and real devotion and devotional service begin. Purport. Actually, let's repeat this verse. That way most of us will wake up. And please repeat. In the association of pure devotees, discussions of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation. And thereafter, he is freed, and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begin. Purport. The process of advancing Krishna consciousness and devotional service is described here. The first point is that one must seek the association of persons who are Krishna conscious and who engage in devotional service. Without such association, one cannot make advancement. Simply by theoretical knowledge or study, one cannot make any appreciable advancement. One must give up the association of materialistic persons and seek the association of devotees, because without the association of devotees, one cannot understand the activities of the Lord. Generally, people are convinced of the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth because they do not associate with devotees. They cannot understand that the Absolute Truth can be a person and have personal activities. This is very difficult subject matter. Unless one has personal understanding of the Absolute Truth, there is no meaning to devotion. Service and devotion cannot be offered to anything impersonal. Service must be offered to a person. That's pretty unique understanding. Non-devotees cannot appreciate Krishna consciousness by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam or any other Vedic literature within the activities the Lord has described. They think that these activities are fictional, manufactured stories whose spiritual life is not explained to them in the proper mood. To understand the personal activities of the Lord, one has to seek the association of devotees, and by such association, when one contemplates and tries to understand the transcendental activities of the Lord, the path to liberation is open, and he is freed. One who has firm faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes fixed as attraction for association with the Lord and his devotees increases. Association with devotees means association with the Lord. The devotee who makes this association develops the consciousness for rendering service to the Lord, and then being situated in the transcendental position of devotional service, he gradually becomes perfect. So the verse again, Satam prasangam mamavirya samvido bhavanti rikarna rasayanam kata tajdoshavarashvavavargavatmini Shradharatir Bhakti Anukramishiti. In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation. And thereafter he is freed, as attraction becomes fixed, then real devotion and devotional service begins. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tenamane Namaste Sarasvatun Deve Gauravani Bracharane Nirvishesha Shnidivadi Paskadhyade Sadharana. So thank you for coming and hearing this talk about Krishna. We hope that you get some benefit from it. Krishna consciousness, as explains in this verse, is not only in believing that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it's also becoming part of Krishna's family. And then, as we become part of Krishna's family, then we become pure devotees. We develop the character of a pure devotee. So Prabhupada emphasizes here that hearing about Krishna is not sufficient, that we have to gain a perspective about Krishna. Because unless we gain a perspective about Krishna, then we'll think that Krishna is, his stories are somewhat fictional. That he lifted Govardhan Hill with a little pinky of his left hand and held it up for 7 days and nights. We think that these are all imaginative stories because we don't have the perspective. For instance, what to speak of Krishna lifting one little hill, Govardhan Hill, for 7 days a night? He's floating unlimited planets in the air for millions of years. So holding up one little hill for Krishna is not a big deal. But unless we have that perspective, then we think things are imaginative. And then even more important than having perspective or above perspective is that we develop the conviction that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prahlad Maharaj, he had heard from Narada Muni that Krishna was God, and he understood in different ways how Krishna is the proprietor of everything, because we don't have to understand so many different things, just that Krishna owns everything here. He even owns my body. I don't know who he's going to do with it, but anyhow, it's his. And everything is meant for his enjoyment, just like we have the stomach and we have the different parts of the body, but the intelligent body knows that all the food we get is meant for the stomach. So one should know that everything in this creation is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. And Krishna is happy when we utilize things in order to enlighten ourselves and others in our relationship with him. Krishna is a very personal God, and that when we use things in a personal way, then he's happy. And then we should understand that Krishna is the well-wisher. He's a nice person. You can't blame him just because he's the controller. He was born like that, or he's eternally been the controller. He doesn't really want to force anyone to do anything. That's why we have these material bodies. Krishna does everything. He allows us to do everything according to our desire. He arranges everything according to our desire. He's not forcing us to do anything. Of course, his material nature is forcing us to do things, but that's because we allow the material nature to do that. It's just like if you run up to a tree and you grab the tree and you say, "Let me go. Let me go, help me, let me go." And someone comes along and says, "My dear sir, that actually the tree is not holding on to you, you're holding on to the tree. Oh, you and your philosophy, help me, get me off the tree, tree, let me go." But the fact is that we're attached to the material nature, and the material nature says, "All right, You're by nature a servant. You have to serve. So serve me, and I'll tell you what to do. Eat, sleep, mate, and defend eternally. And be happy and suffer. So Krishna gives us a choice. Either we can serve him and become happy because he's the source of unlimited happiness, or we can be here in the material world and make our way and enjoy 8,400,000 species of life. We can fly in the air like a bird or a mosquito. We can swim in the water like a fish. We can go on the land like a turtle or like a cheetah or like a human being or a demigod. Whatever we desire, if we get the right association, we can be trained up to become a mouse, or we could become a bug, or a demigod in the heavenly planets. All depends upon who we want to associate with. So the idea is that Krishna has given us the opportunity to associate with devotees, so we can become a devotee. Now, there are many different kinds of devotees, some more advanced, some less advanced, but anyone who's more advanced than we are, they have something to teach us, because they followed someone who was more advanced than they were. That's how they became more advanced. So we become advanced by good association, and as we become more advanced, then we can give others good association too. So if we want to become a pure devotee, then we have to associate with those who are interested in becoming Krishna conscious. Now, that association could be made in a very structured way. As a matter of fact, we hope in the future, even within our disorganized religion called Krishna consciousness, as one devotee said, that he joined ISKCON because he didn't want to join an organized religion. But actually, we should become organized. That may take a little while. But even if we're not organized, Prabhupada gave us a perfect formula that we should at least develop the vision of being able to see how others who are participating in the Krishna consciousness movement are also devotees. That even our husband or our wife may be, in our estimation, not a Mahabhagavat, but they're high enough to... they're good enough so that we can serve them as if we're serving a devotee. We can hear and chant together. Generally speaking, one of our problems, the devotees in the Hare Krishna movement, is that we don't spend enough time hearing and chanting with each other. We think that, let me go to the class, and the person is sitting a little higher than I am because there's more oxygen in the air when you go higher up. He can tell us something about Krishna. But actually, it's very good if we get an opportunity to, when we associate with each other, to tell each other about what we've understood about Krishna. Even to read a little bit and then to ask for people, what have you understood? And you'd be surprised that even quiet people, if they're asked to talk and tell us what they've understood, they're very happy to start explaining things. Now, if you had to sit in the class, you may think, well, I'm going to be judged. I don't know Sanskrit. No one will understand what I'm saying because I can't understand either. But still, when we get together with our friends in smaller groups, and even if we don't have friends, with our husband and wife or their children, if we just read something and then we ask, what have you understood, and then listen to our husband or our wife or our children and hear their response, we'd be very surprised how much people have actually understood about Krishna consciousness and how enlivened people get when they get a chance to tell others about Krishna. That Krishna consciousness is not just meant for hearing and hearing and hearing, because most of us have heard too much. We have too much knowledge. Now, when we first come, we think, I don't know very much, and therefore we're a little humble, and we're willing to listen. And then after some years of hearing the same thing over and over again, we think, I know everything. Tell me some pastime about Radha, Srimati Radharani, and Krishna in the bushes I haven't heard yet. That would be interesting. No, actually, we know too much. Because we know too much, we become a little proud of how much we think we know about Krishna consciousness. Although, in reality, the question is not how much theoretical knowledge we know, it's how much we've realized. How much we're free from attachment, from fear, from anger. How much we realize we're eternal. How much we're living life as if we're eternal. This is the real point. So we have to take all this vast knowledge we know because we've heard so much. And explain it to others, either by writing, if there's no one else to speak to, at least we can write our realizations, what we've understood. And then things will become clearer to us. Just like one of the advantages of explaining things is that we have to try to figure out what to say to others that they can understand. And therefore we have to search our memory, we have to search our understanding and come up with something which is suitable for the audience. So that means we have to rely upon Krishna in our speaking. So when we have to rely upon Krishna in our speaking, it may surprise us what we have to say. Because actually, when we rely upon Krishna, we don't really say anything. Krishna, we become an instrument for Krishna to speak. So that's very nice to become Krishna's instrument, because that means we're under the internal energy of Krishna, which is, that energy is blissful, it's full of awareness, and it's eternal truth. So that we should take life as an opportunity and find the opportunities. Of course, it would be nice that our society, especially since so many devotees here have been here for so many decades, perhaps, that we show an example for others how to get together so that not only we talk about Krishna, for instance, we read this verse, Satam Prasangam, Mabhavirya Sambhido, not only we talk about Krishna and then hear others' understanding about Krishna, but we speak to each other in such a way as to encourage the devotees to do what? To engage in better sadhana. To chant Hare Krishna with more attention, with more feeling, to read the books more regularly, to take devotional service more seriously, to develop a burning desire eventually to give Krishna consciousness to others. How much we must feel that we see that the vast amount of people in this world, even in Ljubljana, they know nothing about Krishna. Now we're actually understanding that we're eternal. How much anxiety we can imagine people are in who don't know where they're going after they leave this body. How every day they look in the mirror and they see themselves one day older, one gray hair after another. And then after a while, they don't have any more hair. It's not even gray anymore. And that's not a sign of eternal youth. So how much anxiety people must be in, and if we have knowledge, how guilty we must feel that we're not giving this knowledge properly to others so they can actually be relieved of their anxiety. Therefore, the only way we can, just like if a person feels guilty about something, he takes intoxication, and forgets. So we have our own intoxication. Prasadam, whatever, even the holy name can be intoxicating. But we should also, by the development of our own personal communication to others about Krishna, we should practice with each other so that when we go out, we can actually know how to speak to others about Krishna. Or if we go out and explain Krishna to others in a simple way, then we'll become inspired also to communicate with each other about Krishna. Anyway, we have so much to talk about. For those who are devotees, as I said, we want to encourage them to take seriously the association of devotees, at least, regular association. And that association will only be inspiring and enlivening if we get a service, some steady service, even our own home in relationship to the deities, or to the spreading the mission of Krishna consciousness. Without service, and service is hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet of Krishna, praying, without regular steady service, then we can't really experience what we're talking about. All the theoretical knowledge we have is realized through service. So part of our associating with each other should be to inspire each other to engage in service according to not just any service, but service that's inspiring to us. Everyone needs a purpose in life. People are looking for a purpose to exist. The first thing I learned in French was that one should not live to eat. One should eat to live. So if our only purpose is of living is our next meal, it's not very inspiring after some time, unless you have a really good cook. Then it becomes a little bit more inspiring. Still, people are looking for a higher purpose. Whole nations have looked for a higher purpose, the wrong purpose. But we know the highest purpose. We know something which will give people not only just some temporary benefit, but eternal benefit. And if they engage in service to that benefit, then they're properly utilizing their energy. There are spiritual gifts that they received. Their heart, where their actually desires are, where their abilities are, where their personality is, and what their experiences are. If they utilize these things in Krishna service, then it becomes very inspiring for them. Then they can actually feel that they're useful in this lifetime. They're doing something to benefit themselves and to benefit others, and therefore it becomes more and more enlightening and encouraging. So we have to associate with each other, not just to tell about our what's called katha, about what's happening in my life, who died, who got sick, who's in the hospital, who gave birth, who got married, who got divorced. No, we should also inspire each other for proper sadhana, how we've learned to chant better, how we learn to hear better, the glories of the devotees, what nice things they're doing. And inspire devotees to do some service according to their abilities and their inspirations so they can actually feel they're contributing to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement and getting his mercy, his inspiration, his reciprocation. Then if we do that, if we develop a family of devotees, we feel like we belong. Not only we believe Krishna, but we belong to his family. Then the result is we'll want to invite other people to Krishna's family too. It'll be natural to invite people to come and hear about Krishna, because what they're going to hear about is how to join an eternal blissful family where people actually love each other and care for each other and know what's good for each other. Then if we do that, then that's our path of becoming dear to Krishna, because Krishna says no one is dearer to him than those who distribute this message to his devotees. So this philosophy is actually quite simple. Not, as Prabhupada says, it's not so easy to apply it, because we've been brought up in a very impersonalistic society where it's all me and mine. Everyone is just in our drama to become the supreme in this universe. Everyone else is just a supporting actor. But Krishna consciousness is an opportunity to develop real relationships based upon loving relationships with Krishna, which will expand to all living entities, because Krishna is in it, in the heart of all living entities. And factually, every relationship we have is really just a reflection of our relationship with Krishna. And if we develop our relationship with each other in relation to Krishna, then Krishna will be very happy. And the result is that Krishna will reveal himself so that we can become a better and better instrument in the loving exchanges with the devotees. We can offer gifts in charity and accept charitable gifts, reveal our mind in confidence and inquire confidentially, offer prasad and accept prasad more and more lovingly, and therefore become more and more happy in association with other devotees, and expand that to the society, which is a dry desert where there is no loving relationships. There is just anxiety, a business of give and take. Give and take. You give to me, and I take from you. Not a very loving exchange. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
I would just like to ask, you mentioned that it is it can be difficult to apply philosophy due to being all about I and mine. And I would just like to ask, how can we really make this change in us? Where to get power to make this change? It's not all about us anymore, but about loving and changing the devotees.
Oh, that's what we're here for. That's what our whole philosophy is about. So we hear, we're hearing, and then we just try to take something, one thing we've heard, and apply it in our life, and then our lives will get more spiritual. We don't have to learn everything at once. We just have to learn a little bit at a time and apply it within our lives. And Krishna will help. That's why he's come here since time immemorial, specifically for that. He's been sitting around in our hearts since time immemorial waiting for us to do this. So he's very happy when he sees we're trying to turn towards him and turn towards his devotees. So he'll help in every respect. If we just try a little bit, he'll reciprocate many thousands of times. Anything else?
Sometimes devotees tell to others something about Krishna and it's not really helpful. So how to tell some non-devotees something about Krishna in a way that is productive?
Well, it depends what you're trying to do. If you're trying to give them a book, if you try to tell them about Krishna, we hardly know Krishna. What to speak of them? Better you find out what they're interested in. You know, most people are very simple. All they know is how many children they have. They can give you a good answer. How long they've been married, what kind of work they do. So these are simple questions you can ask people that they're interested in. If you tell them about Krishna, what interest do they have in Krishna? Did they come out in the street to find out about a blue boy in Vrindavan 5,000 years ago? Wow! So glad you told me. Oh, we have to ask people what they're interested in. Then we can relate to them something. If we can find something that relates to what their interests are, then they may be able to understand a little bit. But even to explain to people that they're not their body on the street, what do they know? They're not their body. They may think so many things, but they won't understand what we're saying. And if they understand, what are they going to do about it? Thanks, I'm not this body, my God. What? So we should tell them something practical in their lives. Then if they can get a book, that's nice. Then they can take it home maybe sometime or another and they may read it. But even more important than that is to give them an invitation. They can come and find out what's in the book. Because if they take the book home and they read it, like they open the Bhagavad Gita and the first thing they find out is Yudhamanas, Shavikrantam, Udamodra, Shavirivan, Puruja Kundi. What? This was about going to solve my problems in life. I can't even read this book. I read it this way, I read it upside down, it makes the same sense to me. So therefore we have to invite people to come and associate with devotees. And they may be able to understand something more. And then the lecture should be in such a way when we're talking to them that they can understand. Now we start immediately, you're all hogs and dogs and camels and asses. Really, I'm a dog. He's calling me a dog. You want to step outside? I'm already insulted enough, and now I came here. They're insulting me even more. My wife tells me I'm lazy, and he's telling me I'm a dog. I don't know which is worse. So we have to tell people appropriate that they can understand, and that's inspiring to them. When we give directions to people, it shouldn't be just, you know, this is the truth. You take it or we bang you on the head with it. Bang. Oh, my God. That's the truth. I'd rather live in a lie. This is giving me a headache. No, it should be inspiring. It should be, as it says, pleasing to them. We should say things which are pleasing and inspiring to them, which are beneficial, which will actually give them some hope in life. Then they'll become attracted. So we have to make our invitations, our talk, and we have to meet them, and if they don't know anything, and make it pleasing and applicable to their lives. They didn't come out to hear about our life. And then when they come to the temple, make it instructions which are relevant to their lives. That they can actually do something about and apply. You get a happy result from. So I think anything else? Thank you very much. Grandaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.